Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I want to thank you for joining us today, My Journey of Faith Radio. It is just so amazing how much God does and God shows us and speaks to us throughout our course of our day. And last night I watched the most beautiful sunset with the skies just painted in only a way that God could do. And I think it's very interesting that God gives us each talents and each ways that we can observe him, that we can sense him, and that we can hear from him. And that's exactly kind of what we're talking about today. I have a guest that has been with us before, and she's returning again, Sherry Oler. She is a Christian artist that is a diehard romantic. Her work is filled with whimsical, emotional, and spiritual depth that speaks to the heart of the onlooker in such a way that brings joy and comfort beyond expectation in the scope of ordinary decoration. And she is going to join us today and talk with us a little bit about hearing God, and I will let her explain it to her. We were kind of talking just a few minutes ago about some verses, but I've decided to let her bring in the verses and let her bring the biblical part of this, because only she can explain it. So, hi, Sherry. How are you?
Hi. Great. Really excited to be with you today.
I am so excited to be here and for you to be with me and to share, because we're going to talk about imaginative prayer. Is that correct?
That is correct. And it sounds like, what in the world is imaginative prayer? I'm not
exactly
making up new phrases here, right? So just to give you some history, the Lord had last year in July had called me to a coffee fast, which anybody that knows me knows that coffee, decaf, of course, is my favorite thing on the planet, pretty much all I drink. And he called me to a fast in July, and I ended up fasting. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I ended up fasting all the way through Christmas, and that's when he kind of released me from the fast. But during that time, so many exciting things were happening. He's just so faithful. And I had no plans to write prayer books, but during that fast, he called me to write. I ended up writing and publishing 2 prayer books. And then at one point, he gave me a dream. I've always wanted to be a speaker in ministry, and just had kind of put the dream on hold and knew that he would open doors in his timing and that kind of thing. And so anyway, he had given me this dream where I had been hired to speak at this huge conference. And it was about time for me to go on stage, and I had no idea what I was going to speak on. And the famous artist Kelly Ray Roberts was there. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her, but she's huge. She was there, and I said, I got to get alone with Jesus. You know, I don't know what I'm speaking on. She goes, oh, it'll be fine. Just speak on art. There are a bunch of artists. And I was like, no, I need to get alone with Jesus. I need to find out what he wants me to speak on. So I, duck into a closet, and Jesus is there and says, you're going to speak on imaginative prayer. And I said, okay. And so I walked out right as they were announcing my name, and Kelly Ray says, well, what are you going to speak on? And I said, I'm going to speak on imaginative prayer. The Lord told me. And she said, no, you don't want to do that. These are artists. They're not going to want to hear that. Just talk about art. I said, no, trust me. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to do this. And as soon as I stepped up to the microphone, my alarm went off and I woke up, and I knew the Lord had given me that dream and that I was supposed to speak on imaginative prayer, but I had no idea what it was. Literally had never heard the term. It sounded a little bit new agey to me. I didn't really understand. And so I just kind of put it on the back burner and prayed about it a little bit for a few weeks. And then I had decided to Google the phrase thinking I would find nothing or thinking I would find something new agey, and ends up so many Bible teachers are teaching on that exact phrase, imaginative prayer, that God is doing something. It's almost like refers to the scriptures where he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit and your young men will have dreams and your young women will see visions. And that's probably a misquote, but you know what I'm talking about, that scripture?
Uh-huh. Sure do.
Almost like that's what's happening, because so many people are studying the Bible and learning how God has called us to consecrate our imaginations, because that is where he speaks to us. And all of us, I'm not talking just the artists and prophets. Throughout scripture, that is how the Lord speaks. One of the ways the Lord speaks to our hearts is through pictures in our imagination. So if you remember this scripture from John 5, where Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. And that's how he knew what his ministry was and what to be doing on a daily basis. Now, we know he wasn't seeing with his physical eyes. He was here on earth as man, not seeing with his physical eyes, but he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So he was seeing with his spiritual eyes. And then where do we find our spiritual eyes? What are those? Well, if we go to Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, I'm going to watch and see to see what the Lord says to me. So again, he's talking about the Lord speaking, but he's talking about using his eyes. I'm going to watch and see what the Lord says, so I can hear what the Lord says. So as we look throughout scripture and we, you know, seek the heart of the Lord on what it means to see what he's saying, we're seeing him as a means to hearing his voice. What does that mean? Well, you know, Jesus said, if you even look upon a woman with lust, you have already committed adultery. So clearly it's not something physical is not happening. If you look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Well, when we look at Ephesians, Paul says that Paul prays for all of us that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that the eyes of our hearts would be open. That's where that song comes from, open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tie all these scriptures together about seeing what the Lord is doing and hearing, I'm going to watch and see what he says, and then looking upon a woman in lust commits adultery in our heart, and then opening the eyes of our heart. When you look at this, it all points directly to the imagination. So if I say the word donut, you don't have a donut in front of you, do you, Cynthia? I don't have a donut in front of me.
But I can envision one now.
Right. So as soon as you hear the word donut, you can see the donut. So you're not seeing the donut with your physical eyes. You're seeing the donut with the eyes of your heart, with your understanding, with your mind. And so as I started to dig into this and learn from all these different teachers who were teaching in this way, I started to realize when Paul says that he wants us all to prophesy, he's saying he wants us all to know what the Lord is saying and to be able to tell people what the Lord is saying. And it's all of us. It's not just the artist. It's not just the prophets. He said all. And I started to realize, God started to show me that is how many prophets hear him, or I think all prophets at one point or another use the imagination. God gives them pictures in the imagination. So by definition, I've tried to define it from all I've learned and all the Lord has shown me. Imaginative prayer is using the eyes of our heart to commune with God and to seek to hear his voice so we can know what he is doing and join in like Jesus did.
Mm.
And the funny thing is that after he started to show me, define it and show me what it is, I realized that is how I've always prayed. And I didn't know I was doing it. And I didn't know that it could lead to prophecy. And I didn't know that I was hearing the voice of the Lord. I just thought I was being my artsy self and picturing everything. Well, as soon as he started to show me that that's how I've always prayed, he then started to show me that that's how he's always spoken to me, that the pictures that pop into our imagination throughout the day, we just think, oh, that's just my imagination. Or we don't think anything. We don't even pay attention to the pictures that come in and out of our minds every day. the more God showed me, the more I realized that is Him. And just as we as humans can be tempted by the enemy, a lot of times that's a picture in our head or that's a thought in our head, and mm-hmm. we think it's us, or we just, you know, or we attribute it to the devil. You know, the devil can talk to us that way, but some of us, for some reason, don't think that God can talk to us that way. He's the one that made our imaginations, and he made the eyes of our heart so that we can hear and glorify Him. And so if we can acknowledge that the enemy can talk to us in that way, we can absolutely acknowledge that the Lord can also talk to us that way, and that's what it was even intended for. So, is it Philippians? Yeah, Philippians 4:8 is where it says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, these are the things you should think on. Think on these things. So if we're worried about, well, how am I going to know if it's me, or how am I going to know if it's the devil, or how am I going to know if it's God, when I get these pictures in the eyes of my heart, in my imagination, how am I going to know who it is? We need to consecrate our minds for the Lord and, you know, confess and cast down false imaginations and ask the Lord to fill our mind with things that glorify Him, things that are pure and noble and true and lovely. And if we start every day like that, then we are literally setting our mind apart for Him. And plus we have to watch things like, you know, not watching movies that we shouldn't, not looking on unholy things. It's a daily choice to consecrate our imaginations and then watch and see as the Lord speaks to us.
I love that. you cleanse and you purify your thoughts is what you're saying. You allow God to speak to you in ways that that He impresses upon your heart through the ways that
For
you see.
Sure.
Love it.
Yes, I can give you an example of just a couple of little ways that He started to show me, see, this is what you're already doing. This imaginative prayer thing, just because it has a title now doesn't mean it's new. Most of us, I think, have probably been doing it for a very long time. And so the first example that He had showed me where I had just did it and I didn't even realize was I was on Facebook and somebody had posted a picture of this little girl with cancer. Beautiful little girl, huge brown eyes. She's probably about 2 years old, and it said, would you please pray for baby Michaela? You know, she's going through this treatment and that treatment. And I don't know what came over me, but I wrote it as a comment. I wrote a prayer as a comment, and as I was praying, I said, I am taking Michaela's hand, and we are storming the throne room, and we're walking up to Jesus asking for His compassion and healing on her. Mm-hmm. And I saw it happen as I was praying it. And the person who posted it wrote me a message, oh, my gosh, that was the most amazing prayer. And I'm thinking, it was only just one little thing, you know. And I thought, okay, well, I'm glad you liked it or whatever. And, well, then a couple of weeks later, all her tests are coming back clear. And I know there was a gazillion people praying, but all her tests are coming back completely clear and cancer-free, and she's getting stronger, and she's not sick anymore, and report after report after report is health. And so then, you know, months later, when God tells me this imaginative prayer stuff, that is the example that He used to show me, this is what you're doing. So I didn't just pray words of healing for this little girl. I literally pictured her and I hand in hand walking up to the throne room of Jesus and kneeling at His feet asking for compassion and healing. And I believe that those kind of prayers are honoring. You know, throughout Scripture. Go ahead.
Scripture tells us that we can boldly go before the throne of grace. And, you know, I think we have to sometimes take that as literally as we could and imagine that we are going before the throne so that we can actually, I mean, if I just say I'm going boldly before the throne and, you know, just flippantly saying it, there's no power in that. But as if
Amen
I go,
to that.
Yeah, as I,
yes.
as I firmly go and I see myself going before His throne, then yes, I mean, we also tell people when we pray for them, I'm carrying you to the foot of the cross. Well, are we?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing. If Jesus said that it's a reality in your heart when you lust after a woman, then it is also a reality in your heart when you carry somebody to the cross. When you picture mm-hmm. yourself carrying somebody to the cross, you really are carrying them to the cross. And I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Bill Johnson or some Bible teacher had said what happens in the heart is a reality in the spiritual. It is as real as if you had done it here. It really somehow, you know, that's one of those God mysteries. It transcends time and space, and it actually is happening. When we think it in our heart, it's actually happening before the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that's really exciting. So then the other example, I just recently attended a conference called the School of Power and Love. It was awesome. It was all about evangelizing, and part of it was prophecy training. And, they expect you to be able to go out on the streets and just wait for words of knowledge about people, and I just wasn't very good at that at all. However, during this conference, at one point before we were all heading out, I got two pictures in my head. One of them was an apple, and then one of them was a heart. And with the apple, I mean, it all happened in 5 seconds. Just ran through my head in 5 seconds. It was a green apple, and somebody had sliced it like you were going to serve slices of an apple, and then they were coring the apple and throwing the core away. And then the apple was put back together, and it was sliced in half the other way and opened so you could see how the core made a star. Okay, so I thought, okay, well, that was random. Why did I just imagine an apple? Like, literally, there's my – even me, who's been learning about this and practicing this for 5 months, my tendency is to just be like, why am I thinking about that? And just push it away, you know? So, make a long story short, I realized, oh, wait a minute, maybe that was the Lord. So, okay, God, send me somebody. If I'm supposed to tell about this apple picture, makes no sense to me, but, you know, if I'm supposed to tell somebody about it, send me somebody. Well, nothing happened. I'm out for hours. No, nobody needs to hear about my apple, right? So hours later, I'm standing next to this woman who is giving a word to a couple. She's prophesying over their life. It was beautiful, and they're hanging on her every word, and all of a sudden she stops. I just met this woman. I don't know her. She stops and says, now, Sherry, it's your turn. You have the second half of this word from the Lord. And I start laughing. I'm like, no, I don't. What are you talking about? I don't have a word from the Lord. I have nothing, you know. And she said, Sherry, you have the second half of this word from the Lord. You need to open your mouth and speak it. And I said, well, the only thing I have is a picture in my head. And she said, then speak it. So I start to tell this woman, I look right at the woman. It wasn't for the couple, and I knew that somehow. That's the faithfulness of the Lord. I look at the woman and start telling her about my apple picture and how the core, most people see the core as throwaway and the damaged part, but that her core is not damaged, that the Lord showed me that it's a star, that he had made it beautiful and that it had just been cut the wrong way and that it's not damaged and it's beautiful. Anyway, I barely get it out, and she starts sobbing. This woman is sobbing, and her husband is comforting her, and he looks at me with tears in his eyes and says, my wife will use this word for the rest of her life. Now, it was just a picture of an apple hours earlier. It meant nothing to me or anybody else, and I blew it off as a thought. Well, why am I thinking about apples? Maybe I'm hungry, you know? What ends up, it really was, it was the Lord dropping a picture in my consecrated imagination because he wanted to bless and love on somebody later. And I think that mm-hmm. most of us, it probably does that with most of us. And if we can learn through scripture and through seeking him, if we ask him to show us about imaginative prayer, I think more and more stuff like that is going to start happening for all of us. He expects us all to prophesy according to scripture. And so, yeah, so I think that that's a great starting point, that seeking him on imaginative prayer and how to use our imagination to hear him and to bless others, I think is a great starting point to see him working those miracles in our lives, you know?
That is wonderful. So how do you see this taking place? How do you walk through something like this?
Well, I think that on a practical level, I think that the best place to start so that you can start so that you're ready for it. So, like, I believe we have to you know, it's a choice to go before the Lord and say, okay, my mind is yours. I'm going to think on whatever is true and pure and lovely, and I'm not going to think on other things, and I want to be ready, and I'm going to be listening, watching to see what you say. So I'm going to literally be listening with the eyes of my heart, with my mind, and just waiting on you to start speaking to me in that way. And I think that the best place to start, A, it helps consecrate your mind, set it apart for him, and B, if there's any kind of fear that maybe you're opening up your mind to the dark side or you're going to be confused about what you're seeing if it's from the Lord, the best place to start in the practice is just by meditating on Scripture. So one of my books is called Scripture Prayers for a Beautiful Life, and I'm going to pray one. It's very short, but I'm going to pray it. And because we know it's literally all Scripture, it's just Scripture in prayer form. This one comes from Psalm 102, 1 Chronicles 16:27, and Psalm 16:11. So it's all of those Scriptures put into one prayer. As we pray it, just picture in your mind doing what it says and going before the Lord. When it says we go before the Lord or in his presence, picture yourself being in his presence. This is a safe way to kind of work your imagination muscles for the Lord. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Great, because it's Scripture, so it's safe, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so as I pray this, just everybody can just practice. And it's going to look different for everybody, and that's completely okay, because even if it's you, if you're honoring the Lord with your imagination, then he's going to bless you for that. But it also could be him. If you're in need of a season of refreshing, because you're focusing the eyes of your heart on actually walking through his Scripture, he can use that to refresh you. If you need comfort, he can use that to comfort you. He can use that to speak to you for somebody else. And so I believe this is opening a door to his supernatural ability to speak to you in ways that maybe he couldn't before. So it's short, and just go with it. Just picture in your imagination as we pray. Okay? God in heaven, as I serve you with gladness today and long to come before your presence with praise and song, draw me into your dwelling place so I can find strength and fullness of joy that cannot be found anywhere else. Surround me with your holy presence and lead me on the path of life where I can enjoy your pleasures forevermore. I pray in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen. So, Cynthia, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would love to hear what you imagined as we prayed that.
You know,
like
it,
words like
exactly,
dwelling place.
You know, yeah, the dwelling place and surrounding with his presence. You know, even as you were praying, I looked down and there was, you know, the unfailing love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. And that is just exactly that. And there, it is big to pray Scripture. I think it's very powerful, especially to change it and just insert our names into that where it's applicable for us.
Yeah.
or the name of someone that we're lifting and taking to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's power. Jesus spoke the Scriptures over and over in his ministry here. So that's an example for us. So as you were reading and praying that, it's just like going into his throne room to be being drawn into his presence.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more powerful than to be there with him.
Right. My favorite part of this particular prayer is where it says, surround me with your holy presence and lead me on the path of life where I can enjoy your pleasures forevermore. When I read that, every time I read that, I picture Jesus walking me down a path, showing me all he has for us.
Mm-hmm.
And literally leading me into the pleasures that he wants for my life. And it's, even though it only lasts a second as I pray and move on to the next part, it's a beautiful path. Paved with gold, and there's, you know, trees with beautiful fruits, and it doesn't take much. It only takes a second. for those kind of pictures to take root in our hearts and in our minds. But I believe that those God glorifying imaginations, they benefit us forever. Those are eternal. Those are eternal imaginations, you know?
Well, Sherry, we only have just a few more minutes left, so I want to give you just a moment to maybe address straight to a person that's maybe right across from you as they were sitting. You were sitting having your decaf coffee. How would you share? You know, if someone came up and they were like, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. How could you help them see praying scripture, praying in a way that you're imagining those words coming straight from your own thoughts? How would you lead them with that?
Okay, I'm sorry. Rephrase the question a little. So how would I, somebody that's confused,
if someone
don't really
is
get
sitting
it.
Across you and this isn't quite getting it, how would you encourage them? How would you lead them into being able to pray scripture imaginatively?
Okay, well, I think that, you know, it goes back to the scripture where Jesus talked about coming to him, coming to the Father as children. You know, I don't know a child on the planet that doesn't like to color and draw. I think that we are all born imaginative, all of us. And that as we grow older, our eyes are tainted, our minds are tainted, our imaginations are a little bit tainted because of all the things that we see and because of the sin in the world. And so I think that if somebody as an adult is confused about how to do this or what it means, or I don't even know what you're talking about. I haven't used my imagination since I was 7. I think that's where we need to get back to. Remember as a child where even if it's just something simple, like draw your family, draw something, give them crayons and start there, because maybe although it's abstract when it's in their mind, maybe something tangible. Crayons and a piece of paper, and you draw God watching over your family, because throughout the Psalms it says that God watches over your family. So find a scripture, and in your simplistic 7-year-old impersonation of a 7-year-old, draw God watching over your family. And then, you know, then pick another theme. Okay, in scriptures it says that God's going to provide for all of our needs. So if you were to give that assignment and some crayons and paper to a 7-year-old, God's going to draw over all, or God's going to provide all of your needs. What does that look like on paper? And if you have children, that's a great place to start, because they can really teach us. They can teach us how to do it right. They can teach us how to get back to that when just by faith we can see it in our imaginations. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And I think that's very therapeutic also for you to be able to, no matter your drawing level, your skill, to be able to put that out on paper, to visualize it, to see it.
For sure. And it can be stick figures. That's not even the point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just so that you have something tangible to show you that you are able to picture something in your head, picture what the Lord is saying. There is a picture there. We just have to pay attention to it. And so putting it on paper helps us realize it was there the whole time.
Well, Sherry, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. If you will, please tell our guests how that you can they can find you. What's your website?
Okay, the website is just my first and last name, Sherry, Sherri, Oler.com. So Oher, Sherry, Oler.com. Also, my books are on Amazon. So the Scripture Prayers for a Beautiful Life, it's very short. Kindle edition is only $2.99. And it's a great place to start because they're prayers and they're scripture. So if you're talking about praying imaginatively, where the safest place to start is scripture, it kind of covers all bases. Not only are you imagining scripture, but it's in prayer form. So again, $2.99 on Amazon, Scripture Prayers for a Beautiful Life.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Sherry.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
I love it. And those of you that are listening, I want to thank you also for joining us. And I just encourage you to grab your Bible, look at it, find the scriptures that mean most to you, and pray them back to God. You'll be amazed at what he does with his own words. They will not come back void. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Amen.